So Rav Bosai, we're going to study again the sugya of Shmonim and Psilos. Let's just summarize what we know so far. And this you'll see on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, three lines up from the bottom. Omar Rav Huna, Psilos Ushmanim Shamruch Chachamim Ein Madlikim Eveshavis. So with regard to the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, the beginning of this parak by Memadlikin is established which oils and wicks are inferior in quality and therefore should not be used for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. Those same invalidated oils and wicks will be invalidated for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And Rav Huna adds, Bein b'Chanukah, Bein b'Shabbos. Meaning that the 8 days of Chanukah will obviously include Shabbos as well. And not so let's say, for example, on Shabbos of Chanukah, Friday afternoon of Shabbos Chanukah, he lights Ner Chanukah, and he lights Ner Shabbos. Those same wicks that are invalid for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos are invalid for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And the Gemara says, Omar Rava, my time with Rav Huna, what is Rav Huna based on? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, number one, Kasavar Kavsa Zakukla, that if he would use these inferior oils for Chanukah, he might be tempted to leave the oils as they are, which means these are inferior oils, so they might go out. And the law is Ner Doluk, that the Ner Chanukah has to be lit for the full half hour. Then Rava adds another point, Umuto l'shtameish li'ora, that Rav Huna is based on the assumption that he's allowed to benefit from the or. And if he's allowed to benefit from the or, then what happens if he realizes that with these inferior oils, the flame is not illuminating his page that he's reading or whatever it might be, so he's tempted to be mate saner. That's called hatoya saner, meaning the oil is not feeding into the wick in a very healthy sort of way, and therefore the quality of the light is not up to par. And he'll be tempted, before he even thinks, to tip the oil in such a way that more oil is feeding into the wick, and that's a violation of Meleches Havara. Now, how do I know that since Mutu L'shtamish Li'ora, therefore the prohibition on Leil Shabbos of using an Ner Chanukah made from inferior oils is based on Shemayata? That I know from Rashi. Because if you look carefully at Rashi, Rashi says, Mutal ishtamish li'ora, this is the last Rashi on page Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Hilchok, therefore, if he's allowed to use the Ner Chanukah for his own personal benefits, then b'Shabbos also, he can't use these inferior oils. Why? Says Rashi, Shema yata litzorach tashmisha. He might be tempted to violate Hatoya by tilting the Ner, and in order to get a better light, and that would be a violation of Meleches Shabbos. Rashi repeats himself a second time on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis when he wants to justify Rav Shita, that Rav allows you to use these inferior oils on Chanukah of Shabbos, going into Shabbos. And the Gemara explains that because also l'shtamish li'ora, because Rav is of the opinion that you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah for your own purpose. So you're not reading a book to the light of the Ner Chanukah, says Rashi, and therefore leka l'meichesh la'toya. We're not going to worry about the possibility that he'll tilt the Ner because he's not even using the Ner for any of his personal purposes. That's called also l'shtamish li'ora.
But then about Hatoya, that he's doing it for purposes so the Chanukah candle will remain.
Right, he's not. We're only worried about Hatoya in a case when he, because again, Rav is holding Kamsa Ein Zokah. So we're only worried about it through this Tashmish if he enjoys the benefit. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, he's not going to enjoy the benefit. And therefore, there's no Shema Hatoya. So what's our subject for today? What we want to know is the following. we said that as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned, we would like the Ner, if all things are equal, to last for a full half hour for the purpose of Pirsum HaNes. Now, if these Neros are inferior in quality, then forget about Shemayata. I have another reason why he shouldn't be lighting with these Neros on Shabbos, and that is Shemayachaveh. Then maybe the Ner will go out. Now, in the case of Chol, what happens if the Ner goes out? What option does he have?
Relight.
He could relight it, but in the case of Shabbos, he doesn't have the option of relighting the Ner, and therefore, if you're going to use these inferior quality Neros, you're ending up without really fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So why does the Gemara, the way Rashi interprets, have to stretch his arm out to Shemayata? Forget about Shemayata. I have a more basic, fundamental reason why you should be avoiding these inferior quality oils for Ner Chanukah of Shabbos, because since he doesn't have any option, he doesn't have any possibility of rekindling the light if these are inferior oils and they're going to go out, then he's stuck without an Ner Chanukah. So for this, we want to look at Simon Beis, which I'm hoping you have. Again, I gave it out. I can't repeat this daily. I apologize. You know, the photocopies are are here and there, and in this case, I don't seem to have any extra copies. So if you can look on with somebody in case you don't have it. So you're looking at page base. Now the rest of today's shiur, I have a new, fresh batch of photocopies, but we'll get to that later on. So in the first paragraph here on the bottom of page base, he quotes the Gemara that we just saw of Rav Huna, and he quotes on the left column Rashi. He says that not only is this in Rashi, but we'll find it in the Rambam. So we have both Rashi and the Rambam who are advocating that the problem of lighting with these inferior oils on Shabbos of Chanukah is Shemayata. Now the Prima Godim asks, why do they have to mention Shemayata? Why don't they just say Shemayachave, that maybe the Ner will go out? And now at this point he quotes a Tosfos Yeshanim in the name of the Rivan. Okay, this is one of the Bali Tosfos. The reason why we want to disqualify the inferior quality oils for Ner Chanukah on Shabbos is Mishum Shema, is not because of Shema Yata, but going on to page Gimel, because of Shema Yechave, that it might go out.
So you don't mean Yechave, you mean Yechave.
Yeah,
in other words, what I meant to say, it will go out.
Not that the man is going to do it.
Right, right. Shema Yichaber, right, it will go out. And if it goes out, he doesn't have the option of rekindling it. So in other words, we have now Machlokes, let's just line up the sheet this here to summarize. We have Rashi and the Rambam on one side of the equation. They're operating with Shema Yateh. And then we have the Tosfos Yeshanim in the name of the Rivan on the other side of the equation, and he's saying in Shema Yichaveh that maybe it'll go out. And now what we have to do is we have to come up with some explanation for Rashi and the Rambam. Why do they have to come on to Shema Yateh? Why not just say that we're afraid? In other words, with regard to Chol, so you could vacillate back and forth with regard to these inferior quality oils, do we rely on him that if the Ner Chanukah is extinguished, he will rekindle the light? Or shall we say Shema Yifsha, we're not going to rely on him? But with regard to Shabbos of Chanukah, we know that no one's going to be able to rekindle the light, and therefore it should be, these oils should be excluded simply on the basis of the fact that Shema Yichaveh. Why did Rashi and the Rambam avoid Shema Yichaveh?
Because the Rava says Mutal Ishtamish Ba'ora. I don't understand the Rivan. Why would Rava say that part of the reason is Mutal Ishtamish Ba'ora, which is what Rashi is
talking about? Well, Abby, let's take a break for a moment and let's talk about Ner Shabbos, for example. We said that in the context of Ner Chanukah, we might pasul, according to Ravuna, we will pasul the inferior quality oils. Right? We will pasul the inferior quality oils because we're afraid that it'll go out.
Right.
So what happens with Ner Shabbos? Then for sure we have to pasul the oils.
Right.
Correct? Because they might go out.
Right.
Okay? And now we're saying that according to Rashi and the Rambam, just a second, let me just get this straight. Lamadi Abakov says, Zokar Klaw, so we're afraid it'll go out. Hine, Mishavis, Ein Madlikim, Ipsil, Sushmanim, Elu, Reikos of Rashi, Shom. See, I'm not sure what the word shav means.
I think his comment on the Gemara is not on Kavsa Zokakla, but on Mutala Shtam Shlahora.
Well, it depends which comment of Rashi. I mean, we had two Rashis, but he says shom, and I'm trying to figure out what he means by shom. Just 1 second. He, shom. Oh, I see. I think I misread the word shom. You know, I wish he had clarified this. I'm not sure. Again, I can't tell you exactly where it is right now because I don't have it here in my Gemara. But in any event, shom. Just give me a minute, just in case by chance I could find it. Does anybody have this Rashi here?
Liquor to go out? What is it?
Okay. So let me, Rabosai, let me make a leap of faith here. And I'm going to assume that when he says Rashi Shom, it means back in the beginning of the Perek. Now, in the beginning of this Perek, we're talking about Ner Shabbos. Does anybody have a Rambam here? Mitch usually has a Rambam, but he's not here today. Can I trouble you, John, for the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos? And we're talking Perek Hey Halacha Ches. See, if I prove myself in the Rambam, then I know that the word Shom in Rashi is referring to a Rashi earlier in the Perek. Just wait a minute. Let's just... Can you open up for me Perek Hey Mehilchos Shabbos Halacha Ches and see if you find Shema Yata over there.
Rabbi, is there any machlokas in what the problem is with bad oil? In other words, unreliable. But is it unreliable because it starts to flicker or it's, you know, it might go out, or is it happen suddenly without warning?
Both are correct. No, it might suddenly go out, or it might quickly go out, it might slowly go out.
If it goes out suddenly, there's no shemayata. There's only shemayata.
Right, so the problem is that if he's looking at his ner and he sees it's about to go out, then he might come to be mata the ner. And that's what I think. If we hold off just a minute to see if that's what the Rambam says again, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Do you have?
Yeah.
Read it out loud if you don't mind. Oh, so why don't we use these neros? So wait a minute. Stop for a second before you get to the Rambam's answer. What would have been your answer to this question? No.
No.
I would have said Shem Yechabe.
Okay. Let's see.
And not only that, because. Yeah, because he has no option of relighting it, right? So we want to get the Nair to be alive and well. It's you know what I'm saying?
Okay, good.
Well, what's the purpose of lighting a Nair Shabbos if not to have Nair? You know, you want to have Or in your house, what we call Shalom Bayis.
Yeah, but that comes
so what is the Rambam going to say here?
So
the Rambam is operating with Shem Yata in Ner Shabbos. Again, this is Hilchos Shabbos. Does the Kesef Mishnah quote Rashi? Because he doesn't tell you where the Rashi is. He says the Rashi also says Chayshin and Shem Yata. let's again, Rav Osai, if you're going to take a leap of faith with me, Rashi is on board with the Rambam. The reason why you cannot use the inferior oils on Shabbos, we're not talking about Hanukkah now, is because of Shema Yata. Comes along the Rivan, quoted by the Tosi Yeshanim, and he writes the following. Again, you'll see this on the bottom of page Beis, going on to the top of page Gimel. Hodi Amrin Gabi Shabbos She'ein Madlikim Bahem. He's not talking about Hanukkah, he's talking about Shabbos. And again, I missed this because when he said Kosav Rashi Shom, I thought he meant our Rashi here on Chaf Aleph. There's another Rashi which I don't have with regard to Ner Shabbos. And he says the following, Lav Mishum Shema Yata Ela Shema Yechabe. And now I begin to understand the next three words of the Rivan. He says Veleka Shalom Bayis. So that these inferior oils, and again here there's no option of saving the day. You know, in the case of Ner Chanukah, if the Pirsum HaNes goes down the tubes because these inferior wicks will go out, he still has the option, at least. I don't know if we'll rely on him or not. That's going to be a machlokas, but at least you might say that he'll rekindle it. But in the case of Shabbos, you don't have that option. So then the question is, Tzarech Iyun, why does the Rambam and Rashi, again, he doesn't tell you where this Rashi is, Lo Pirshu, Diein Madlikim Ebeshabbos, Michashash Shema Yechaveh, Kimo B'Chanukah. In Chanukah, we're worried about the fact that it'll go out, and, you know, we may not be able to rely on him to rekindle it. In the case of Shabbos, he doesn't have the possibility of rekindling it, so then for sure, that same logic that applies on Shabbos, which is basically Shema Yechaveh, should apply on Shabbos as well, and that's fine if you don't like the Rivan, but what about the Rambam and Rashi? So again, we have to find that Rashi. That I owe you that Rashi. You know, I'm hoping I'm not inventing a Rashi that doesn't exist. Oh. So in order to appreciate this, we have to ask a different question, which is much more fundamental. And that is, why is it that we light Shabbos candles? What's the ultimate goal of lighting Shabbos candles? What would have been your knee-jerk response?
Shalom Bayis.
Which would mean what? Is it enough that he lit the candle on Erev Shabbos? Ner Dolok on what? On Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos? You hear my question? On Shabbos, right? That would have been our knee-jerk response. So, for example, if you light an Ner Shabbos and it goes out, and you don't have an Ner Shabbos on Ner Shabbos doluk on Shabbos, then the whole point of the mitzvah is gone. But it's not so simple. Why? Because the Rambam says exactly what we just said in Perek Aleph Mihilcha Shabbos. So let's open up to Perek Aleph Mihilcha Shabbos. I'm sorry, my mistake. Perek Hei Mihilcha Shabbos. Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. Is that correct?
And a Rishos.
Right? And then he says, V'yechad Anoshim, V'yechad Noshim. Again, we're skipping parts of the Rambam because it's not relevant to us. What's relevant to us is Chayovim Lios B'Bateim Ner Dolok B'Shabbos. It's not good enough that you lit an Ner Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. You need the Ner Dolok on Shabbos. And then at the end of this halacha, the Rambam says, "V'zeh bichlal oneg Shabbos." Now, when do we fulfill the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos? On Shabbos, when we eat our meal. So we need that the table on which we eat our meal is illuminated by the Ner Shabbos. So that's what the Rambam says, that the chiyuv is sheyia lo bibat the yil lahem bibatayhem ner dolik b'Shabbos. Now let's fast forward to Perek Lamed of Hilchas Shabbos. We're turning now 25 pages in the Rambam, 25 prokim in the Rambam, and we're opening up to Perek Lamed Halacha Hey. But both say, do you have this inside? Again, I made a tircha to photocopy these pages.
No,
so
I don't have days. You don't have
Gimel. Okay. What can I do? What I should really do is make sure that every person photocopies the entire book, and then you'll have to bring it on a regular basis, and then that'll save me a tremendous headache. All right. So what does the Rambam say? We're on page Gimel now. For those who do have page Gimel, in the paragraph that starts Vehine, Beperek Lamed Milchus Shabbos Halacha Hey. You have the Rambam in front of you, so you'll see it inside. The Rambam writes, Tzarech l'saken beso Miba'od Yom. A person has to organize his house on Erev Shabbos during the daylight hours. And why is that so? Mipnei Kavod HaShabbos. Notice he's ushering in the Shabbos. He's welcoming the Shabbos. That's called Kabbalah Shabbos. On the side, by the way, I'm just wondering if the Rambam would say the same thing on Erev Yontif. I don't know, is there such a thing as Kavod Yontif? Let's assume there is. I don't know. And then he says, V'yeh ner doluk v'shulchan aruch. The Rambam goes into a whole long list of activities that he should be involved in on Erev Shabbos for the purpose not of Oneg Shabbos, but rather of Kavod Shabbos. Now, at the very beginning of this chapter, Perek Lamed, you'll see that the Rambam says that we have Midirei Kabbalah, two mitzvahs. One is called Oneg Shabbos, and the other is called Kavod Shabbos. The Rambam establishes the fundamental difference between the two, and that is whereas Oneg Shabbos you fulfill on Shabbos, but Kavod Shabbos you fulfill Erev Shabbos. Now, on this list of all the activities that you have to implement on Erev Shabbos for the sake of Kavod Shabbos, he's got Ner Doluk. He's got lighting the candles. Hiksha Maran HaGrizal, that's my Rebbe's uncle, the Brisker Rebbe, asked the following question. That back in Perek Hey, the Rambam says that the mitzvah is that he should have a Ner Doluk B'Bayis, and it's got to be in his house at the time of Oneg Shabbos. V'ilu B'Perek Lamed, he's talking Mibod Yom. You know, we're not talking at the time that he eats his Suda, we're talking on Erev Shabbos. The Od Kush, and furthermore, the Brisker Rebbe says, I don't understand, the Rambam is confusing me, because if you take a look in Perek Hey Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, Hamadli Tzarch Lahadlik Mibod Yom, Kodem Shkia Sachama. What is the Rambam trying to tell me now? I mean, obviously, you can't light the candle after Shkia Sachama, it's already a Shabbos, it's one of the 39 Malachas. Says the Brisker Rebbe that there are two dimensions to the Chiyuv of Adlokas Ner Shabbos. Number one, there's a chiyuv because of Oneg Shabbos, and number two, there's a chiyuv because of Kavod Shabbos. So the Rambam codifies the chiyuv of Oneg Shabbos in Perek Hey, and the chiyuv of Kavod Shabbos in Perek Lamed. V'heim mechulakim b'dinayu. There's a fundamental difference between the two. The chiyuv of Oneg Shabbos is only fulfilled on Shabbos itself. There's no mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, but Kavod is dafka fulfilled on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, with regard to the din of Perek Hey of Hadlaka Mishum Oneg Shabbos, therefore, it all depends on what's going to happen on Shabbos. Does this Ner Shabbos enhance his Oneg Shabbos on Shabbos? In contrast, the din and the kiyum of Kavod Shabbos is only going to be on Erev Shabbos Mibod Yom, because Kavod Shabbos means that we have to organize everything to receive the Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, and therefore the Rambam Perek Lamed says he has to light this candle Mibod Yom. The Rambam is not telling you that you're not allowed to light the candle after Shkia. I mean, that we know because it's one of the Lamentes Melachos. The Rambam is trying to define the nature of the mitzvah. When is it that you fulfill the mitzvah? The Rambam says, Yadlik ner mibod yom, meaning Yekayim es mitzvahs ner b'toris kavod Shabbos mibod yom. He says, imagine if you could have, in the theoretical realm, a hadlaka on Shabbos itself. Again, that's impossible. But let's say you could have such a thing. You'll tell a guy to light the candles for you. He says, Mikol makom eino miskayim b'zeh din kavod Shabbos. He has already forfeited the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. The mitzvah of kavod Shabbos has to be fulfilled when? On Erev Shabbos. Ulefi zeh, he says, now miyushav loshen aram perk hey. The Rambam says, with regard to Oneg Shabbos, that he has to have a ner that's dolok on Shabbos. Mashenkin and conscious in Perek Lamed, where the Rambam's talking about the Chiyuv Hadlok Mishum Kavod Shabbos, the Rambam only mentions Erev Shabbos. He doesn't mention anything about Shabbos itself, because he fulfills the mitzvah on Erev Shabbos. So we now have a double kiyum of ner Shabbos. Now let's just think, what would happen, and again I'm trying to anticipate what's coming around the bend here, that's what I like to do. What would happen if the Ner Shabbos would be blown out before Shabbos? Was his bracha on the Ner Shabbos a bracha levatola? Was it meaningless, his Ner Shabbos?
No.
It depends, right? Every good question deserves the answer that starts with the words, it depends. Right? Now that we've established the name of the Brisker Rav, that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. One is called what? Oneg. When is that fulfilled? on Shabbos itself. The other is covered, and when is that fulfilled? On Erev Shabbos. So what happens, for example, if on Erev Shabbos I set my table, and then some joker or one of my young kids or grandkids, you know, comes in and messes up the table? That happens to me almost every Shabbos. So would I have fulfilled my mitzvah of covered Shabbos? You know, the fact that he messed up the table, that's not my problem. If let's say I light an air Shabbos and now the wind blows out the Shabbos, that's not my problem. I was Makayim in the midst of covered Shabbos. Did I forfeit the midst of Oneg Shabbos? The answer is yes. Oh, so now let's apply the yardstick of the Rivan. Correct? Not the Rivan, what was his name? Yeah, the Rivan. Right? The Tosis Yeshanim in the name of the Rivan. The Rivan says that the reason why we have to disqualify the inferior quality wicks and oils for Shabbos is because of Shema Yechaveh. Now, if you're telling me that Shema Yechaveh means that he would forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and his bracha is a bracha of Atollah, and there's nothing to salvage here, then I understand the Rivan very well. But in the light of the Rambam Shita, the way we define it, that even if the Ner goes out, he still has the kiyum of what? Of Kavod Shabbos. His bracha is not meaningless. He at least obtained one of two dimensions of Ner Shabbos. Then to say Shema Yichaveh is really a weak kind of argument, because even if it does go out, it's not that you've reduced your mitzvah to... Again, you could argue with this, but I just want you to hear this far. Well, Mashenkin, as far as owning Shabbos is concerned, he's really in deep trouble. He has no way of rekindling the light. But again, as far as his Ikra Mitzvah is concerned, of lighting on Erev Shabbos, that he fulfilled. And the fact that the wind blew it out is not going to undermine his mitzvah. Therefore, the Rambam has a more powerful reason why he should not use these inferior quality oils. Not because if it goes out, he'll forfeit the mitzvah and his bracha is a bracha of Atollah, but because of the Isur of Shema Yateh. Oh, now if we have an Isur of Shema Yateh, then you're violating a Shvutz. If you're violating a Shvutz, you got to stay far away from this. Don't make a shikul that even in the worst case scenario, if the wind blows it out, I still obtain the minimum kiyum of Kavod Shabbos. No. That shikul, that logical reason is going to be completely excluded. Why? Because of Shema Yateh. So again, let's just review. From the Rambam's perspective, he has two possible candidate answers to his question in Perek Hey, why we don't use these inferior oils for Ner Shabbos. He could have answered because of Shema Yechaveh. Instead, he answers because of Shema Yateh. Why did he prefer Shema Yateh over Shema Yechaveh? Because whereas Shema Yechaveh would not undermine the mitzvah completely, at least he would salvage what kiyum? The kiyum of Kavod Shabbos. In the case of Shema Yateh, we talk about a violation of a Shvutz. A violation of the Shvutz is completely unacceptable. Let's just see if what I said is in fact what the Gevuras Yitzchok is going to say. He says, "Hine, give me just a few minutes. I'm just very hot on this. I just want to see if he'll say such a thing." Hine haramah bilcha Shabbos sima reish sama gimel sif dalid kosav shim hoya ner dolik mibod yom. Mibodyom Gadol. If he lit the Ner early in the day, let's say before Plaga Mincha, he lit his Ner Shabbos, is then, when it gets close to Shabbos, Yechabenu, he's got to extinguish the Ner, V'yachzor v'yadlikenu litzorech Shabbos. V'nire, wow, this is a bombastic Kiddush, D'zerach mishum chovas hadlaka mishum kavod Shabbos. As far as owning Shabbos, so there's no reason, rhyme or reason, to tell him to extinguish the Ner. It's an exercise to rekindle the Ner. You want to get a Ner for his owning Shabbos, for his Suda Shabbos, you have a Ner. It's already built in. Oh, but he says, as far as Kavod Shabbos is concerned, that mitzvah of Hadlaka or Kavod Shabbos, flew of a Mais Hadlaka. He's got to actively welcome the Shabbos by lighting a Ner Shabbos. And he lit it too early. He lit it in Bodayom Gadol, and that's not related to Kavod Shabbos. When does Kavod Shabbos set in? Right before we welcome the Shabbos princess, right? The Shabbos Amalka. But Shabbos Amalka doesn't show up in our homes on Friday morning. So therefore he's going to have to put it out and rekindle it again. However, mitzad oneg Shabbos, then he can fulfill the mitzvah with the ner that was dolek mibodyom, because that's going to illuminate his suda Shabbos, and that would be fine. Now the Rambam in Perkei is very meduyok in his language. He's very careful. He says the mitzvah is not, when the Rambam in Perkei is addressing the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, he doesn't say the mitzvah is to light the Ner Shabbos. He says the mitzvah is that the Ner should be dolik bebayis. The Rambam was very meticulous about his choice of language. It's not an action of Kavod Shabbos, but rather it's Litzorech Suda Shabbos. So then it's enough that he has an heir Dolok. So if he had an heir that was Dolok Mibojom, there's no point to requiring him that he extinguish an heir to rekindle it. He's already got an heir Shabbos, and he could be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. If that be the case, then let's talk about Kavsa. Or I'm hoping that maybe he'll say my Shtikal Torah here in the next paragraph. He says, "Nirish yesh od nafkemina b'chai gav neshekovsa ner b'shabbos." If the ner was extinguished on Shabbos, I guess he means before the Suda Shabbos. Im kiyem mitzvah sadlokas neros olokim. Did he fulfill the mitzvah or not? The answer is mitzad achiv shadlok mishemonik Shabbos shielo ner dolik b'shabbos is afal gavdu onus. Right, these are circumstances before his control. But onus command the Ovid law of Rina, we can't give you a kima mitzvah because you were onus. Right? If a person didn't take the lulav, he didn't take the lulav, he doesn't have that mitzvah. And now he cannot rekindle the light because it's Shabbos. But mikomakom lo kiyamas ha-mitzvah, the mitzvah is onik Shabbos. He's sitting and eating his meal in the dark. Ulam, however, in contrast, mitzad ha-din shal ha-dlok mishum kovet Shabbos, ha-mitzvah be'etzem ha-dlok ala kovet Shabbos. So kol she-dlika ve-ofen she-yuchal li-dolek v'Shabbos, right? In other words, that this nair could go into Shabbos. It has a long shelf life. Is shaper kiyam mitzvah ha-lokos ha-afagav the nichbe, even though it went out, he could be makayim the mitzvah. Oh, hine mevur b'gemara. Here we're going to turn to page dalit. The leman the omer kovsa ein zokik lo mutal lahadlik v'psilos ushmanin she ein madlikim ever shabbos. The af the gam leman the omer kovsa ein zokik lo ikashir madloka. In other words, the halacha requires that how much oil do you put in the nair? Enough to last for a half hour. She yedolik at shetichla regel ben hashuk. Umikomakom. Nevertheless, lamani yomakom saying zokik lo hashir. Eino el the maisad look. In other words, you have to do a maisad look on a nair that has the shear that it could last for a half hour. Leka chiyuv she nair doluk v'meshach zman shiura. You're not required to see to it that the nair lasts for a half hour. You have to require that the adlaka would be potentially would last for a half hour. In other words, you have a cheftz of a nair, which means that it could last the shear of a half hour. The kevin sha hidlik the psilos ushmanim the eino bevadai sheichavu. We don't know for sure that they're going to go out. Is then chashiv shaper adlokas ner she royally dolek. Right? So there are two ways that he. There are two reasons why the ner is royally dolek. One is because he put in a shemen that would last a half hour. Number two, we don't anticipate that within a half hour, such a short period of time, the ner is going to be extinguished. There is such a statistical possibility. But it's only a chashash bi'alma shem yechav. He says the ayin mishnebrua hilchas Chanukah siman tafresh ayin gimel sifkatan chafei shem roish ha'or eino nechaz ba'psila. If he sees that after he lit the flame is not catching on to the wick, bevada yechav, he should certainly take the first opportune moment to put it out and rekindle. Sheino yotzi bad lokazu. Why? The logara mipsilos she'enu nechas ben or yofe davirak chashash sheichave. So what's the Mishnah Berurah saying? That if we don't want him to light with these inferior oils because maybe it'll go out, how much more so if he sees in front of his eyes that it's not catching, how much more so he has to do everything in his power to guarantee that it'll last? So he needs roi lahadlik. Once it's roi lahadlik, if the wind comes, you know, unforeseen wind, then he fulfills the mitzvah. Oh. If you're talking about the mitzvah of what? Of Kavod Shabbos, that he needs a Maisad Lok on Erev Shabbos. Is Bahanach Psilos Ushman if he uses these inferior quality oils. So what are you going to tell me that there's a Chashosha Shemi Yichaveh? Well, Just like in Hanukkah, we're not worried about Shem Yechaveh because he did adlaka that was roy to last. And even though it's an inferior quality oil, we don't absolutely expect statistically and in all probability that it'll go out. It might go out. So according to this manioh, we're not choshesh for that. And therefore, you're allowed to use these inferior quality oils for Hanukkah. He says that in Shabbos, if you use these inferior oils and then it goes out, is lo yotza chovas hadlaka b'shemonik Shabbos. Because he can't claim that he's an anus here because he lit these inferior quality oils and now his Suda Shabbos is not illuminated by the Ner Shabbos. But mikolakom, nevertheless, yotza chovas hadlaka b'shem kovet Shabbos, kevet shabitzvi be'etzem mais hadlaka. Like we said before, what happens if he lit early in the day? So then he's going to have to put it out and rekindle it with Kovet Shabbos, because Kovet Shabbos requires a Mais Hadlaka. And now if the candle goes out, he already completed and achieved his act of Hadlaka L'Kvod Shabbos. And Ken Kevet Avi Hadlaka is Yochel, She Yochel Lidolek V'Shabbos, as long as he did Hadlaka, which could last into Shabbos, is Yotza Mitzvah Hadlakasa, as far as the element or the variable of Kvod Shabbos is concerned. If it goes out, it's exactly like the case of Ner Chanukah, which Lamad Yom Kovsa Ain't Zakik Lo, means even though the Ner Chanukah was extinguished, he still doesn't have to rekindle it. He was Yotze's mitzvah, because he created a Ner that was Roy Ladloka, and the Mais Ladloka itself clinches the mitzvah. So in the case of Ner Shabbos, the mitzvah would be clinched with the Mais Hadlaka as far as Kovet Shabbos is concerned. Ulefi zeh asi shaper. Oh, this is a paragraph I wanted to show you. Asi shaper the kosvu Rama Rashi shetamein adlikim emesoshozon who michshas shemiyata. Why did the Rama have to come on to shemiyata? And again, there's some sort of Rashi which I don't know where it is. Velo tikshi, and you couldn't, and you asked lomalo kosvu tam shemiyichave. They're inferior quality oil, and then what about shalom bayis? Ulam lefiyam avur, according to what we said, are shemi yechave hu rak tam shlo yotzi yidei chovas hadlaka mishum onik Shabbos. Amal al kol ponim are yotze mitzvahs hadlaka mishum kovet Shabbos. Vegam b'chai gavna shohelo ner doluk mibod yom godol. Right? In other words, now what we're saying is just like in Ner Chanukah, if you hold Kovsa Ein Zokiklo, you yotze with inferior oils because you did the Mais Hadlaka. And it should, and we hope it'll last for the amount of time. So even though it went out, you still have attained, we're not going to undermine your mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So too in Ner Shabbos, since Kovet Shabbos requires a Mais Hadlaka, it's got to be roy to last. So we're not going to say, well, we have a chashash that maybe it'll go out. No. We assume it'll last. And therefore he's mekayim the mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos. V'gam b'chai gavna shahoylo ner dolk b'on yom godol is v'gavna sha'ofen she'enu yochel l'chavos. If he lit a ner Friday morning, you know, with a long lasting candle that'll last into the night, is that's okay? And he was mekayim the mitzvah of ner Kovet Shabbos. Right, so wait a minute, just give me a second. I lost the flow here. He wants to say a kol penim yotze mitzvah sadlaka mishum kovet Shabbos, right? Mishum kovet gam b'chai gam nishohayilo ner doluk mibod yom gadol gavne ba'ofet she'eno yochol l'chaboso l'chayv l'hadlik od ner l'kovet Shabbos is hachad lokas ner nosof eno rak mishum losa l'kovet Shabbos l'chut. Right, so if he has to put out the candle, he has to light another candle. That's only because of Kovet Shabbos lo b'shvil onik shem kein hayikasha lahadlik afilu b'hach shmonim upsilos. Right, so what we're saying is that as far as the mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos, he just needs a mais hadlaka, and if that be the case, it's a mirror image of Ner Chanukah, according to the Man Yom, who says that mutul lahadlik b'shmonim upsulim, because he was mekayim the mitzvah adlaka, and we hold that kovsa ain zokiklo. Mishum hachi kosvu Rashi v'Rambam atam d'shem yata. Right? She'af mitzvah sadlaka mishum kavod Shabbos is, what are we going to say? Since it's a shemayate, is therefore asur lahadlik beharach psilos ushmanim mikshash shemayate. But again, as far as the kshash of shemayichab is concerned, Rashi and the Rambam hold that even in the worst case scenario that it goes out, he's forfeited the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, but he still maintains the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. Is Asi Shapir Liyashev Rashi Varambam Shekosva Atam Shein Madlike Mahanach Shmonu Psilos Mechsha Shemayata. And that's very good. Again, the only weak link here that I see, Alan, you may see another weak link, but my comprehension is as far as the weak link is that if we only had Shema Yichave, that would not be enough of a reason to passel these shmonim because they may go out. Even though, again, he admits that he'd forfeit the mitzvah of owning Shabbos, that for sure, and he has no option of rekindling the light. But since I'll call upon him, he would... I don't know if he's assuming that the main thrust of the mitzvah is kavod Shabbos, or maybe he's assuming that at least in a fallback position he could obtain the kiyum of kavod Shabbos, and that's enough. Yeah, Alan?
It seems to me, if you say, if the chash is shemri yichabeh, we're not talking about Kavod Shabbos. We're talking about Onik Shabbos because
only Onik Shabbos. As far as Kavod Shabbos, he obtained.
You have to be Mekabel Shabbos.
Right.
Once you're Mekabel Shabbos, there's no more union of Kavod Shabbos because Kavod Shabbos ends as soon as Shabbos started.
Right. So once he did his action of Hadlaka, he now is obtained with that Mice Hadlaka Kavod Shabbos.
I find that a little difficult on theoretical grounds. Kavod Shabbos is Kavod Shabbos. You want when Shabbos starts, you want there to be a ner dolu, so that's the kavod for Shabbos that it's coming with a ner. To say like you do by other mitzvahs, say like by Hanukkah, that the hadlakas will be the mitzvah.
Yeah, look, Alan, it could very well be that there is the ner went out before he ate a suda. Let's take that scenario. So in that case, he forfeits the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, but he still maintains the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos.
But he doesn't. But the point is like this: where you say you should be mechaber again, if it was dolik miyod mibodiyom,
right,
and you have to be mechaber, so obviously you wouldn't be mechaber Shabbos at that time because you wouldn't be able to be mechaber.
Right. No, we're talking about the exact time that he lights every erev Shabbos. So he asks himself, well, do I have to put out this? I already have it there. I'm zoked to it there. So the halacha is, as far as Kavod Shabbos is concerned, he's going to have to put it out and rekindle it. If we only had Onik Shabbos in that case, he would let it burn, and then he has an air dolk for his
suit. Right. So the reason, the point is that a nair that's dolk mi bojom, if it's not dolk at the time of the Kabbalah Shabbos, you've not been mekabel. You've not been mekayim mitzvah Kavod Shabbos.
Or Onik Shabbos, you have zero.
So
you're left with zero. You know,
right. But if
let's say that nair that you lit with bojom would last into Shabbos, at least you would obtain the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. You would forfeit the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos.
Why not Kavod Shabbos? You should be a view.
Because it's too removed from Shabbos. You know, the Shabbos queen has not arrived yet. You know, you can't do actions to welcome the king before the king arrives. You know, you go out and welcome the king.
And I don't have a problem with that. But then you can't say on the other side, you can't have, you know, your cake and eat it. You can't say if it went out and if there's still time to light. And
that's what I said to you before. Let's talk about the following scenario. He lit the Nair Shabbos in its proper time. And then right before the Suda, you know, an hour later, it went out. Let's talk about that. So he's saying that the Nair should last for a certain amount of time. And let's say it spills into Shabbos. So immediately when the king arrives, you know, there's machlokas between the Bali Halacha and the Bali Kabbalah, exactly whether it's a king or a queen. You know, you know, the Bali Kabbalah says Shabbos Malkasa, but the Rambam speaks about Shabbos HaMelech. Whatever it is, the king or the queen arrives, and there's an Nair Shabbos. So I welcome the king with an Nair Shabbos. So he says, if that be the case, then we're not going to worry about these inferior quality Nairos, because even in the worst case scenario, they'll go out before the Suda Shabbos, and you'll have to forfeit the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, but at least you've already clinched the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. That's what he says here. Now again, this piece goes on, and it ends 5 pages later. But I'm going to satisfy myself right now here. If anybody happens to have a pencil, I would just mark. Okay, great. Thanks so much. I could just mark off where we got up to, and maybe on another occasion we'll fill this in. What I'd like to do now with you is a chapter in this book, which is called Kiddushas HaNeros. So I'm hoping that you have page Tsari Tes in the arsenal of pages that we photocopied.
The big nefkamina, Robert Odek, is when people go to a hotel. And all the ladies want to light in the hotel lobby together. And right. Make a bracha. For only Shabbos they can. For Kovat Shabbos they can. Otherwise they'd be stuck.
Excellent.
There'd be no reason.
So it really saves, you know, this minhag in the hotels, because yeah. We're saying that the kiyum of Kovat Shabbos is enough
to make a bracha.
The only problem I have with this is, what would you say the following? Here's a funny question I'm going to ask you. Let's say there are 2 ladies in the house, right? In the hotel there are 1,000 ladies, right? There are 2 ladies in the house, and one of them already set the table. Would it make any sense for the second lady to set the table? So what I'm asking is this Kovat Shabbos of lighting candles just a perfunctory act? You know, just mechanical? There are 1,000 candles on the table, and I add another. You know, have I really enhanced the honor? So I guess that's the way the halacha works, that, you know, you've done your part in honoring the king, you know, you lit in a, and the Ribui HaNeros is also, you know, it shows how many different subjects, you know, the king are there to be Makabal the Shabbos.
You already said about that, like if he's got and he has a doula that's near him, so then...
Where's Tzadi Tes? I don't care.
He's not adding anything.
Oh.
You had it up there.
Oh, thank you so much.
I didn't realize it was yours.
Okay. So we found the culprit. Okay, let's now shift to Kedusha Shab, Kedushas HaNeros. We know, based on the Sechta Sofim, that our minig is to recite HaNeros HaLolu Kodeshem, the Eimon Rishus L'shtavish Bahem. That doesn't make any sense, because the Gemara says in the Sechta Shabbos, on Daf Chav Beis on the days, let's take a look at Rav Asi. Rav Asi says that the problem here is Lahartzos Mos Kineged Ner Chanan. Okay, did I say Amid Beis? I made a mistake, I'm sorry. I meant to say Chav Beis Amid Aleph towards the bottom of the page. And we're going to look for Rav Asi. Oh, it says the following. Boy, the name here of Yeshua ben Levi. Let's see if we can find it in the daf. It should be approximately halfway through the Amud. The first word in the line is Olav, if that helps anybody. Halfway through the daf. So they asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi the following question. Are you allowed to count your coins using, because they're different kinds of coins, using the light of the Ner Chanuk? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, you're not allowed to do so. And Rabbi Yosef says, why is that so? And if you drop down a little bit further down, the Gemara says that Itmar, okay, it was just 1 second. Sorry, I'm just trying to get oriented here. Where is my favorite Rav Asi over here? Is Rav Yeshua ben Levi? I'm sorry, it's earlier on the daf. My mistake. Oh, I'm sorry, it's earlier on the daf. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi. Okay, this is about 10 lines down from the top of the page on Chav Beis Amid Aleph. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Asi, Oso Lahartzos Mos Kenegin Er Chanukah. Now, there's going to be a machlokis in the Gemara whether or not this action, which is done mirichuk from a distance, is considered bizui mitzvah. Because basically, bizui mitzvah means when I want to use the mitzvah, the chefetz shel mitzvah itself. Here I'm not really using the ner, I'm only using the light from a distance. So Rav Asi says, nevertheless, that's called bizui mitzvah. Also, lahartzel smos kenegin erchanik. Shmuel says, no, that's not bizui mitzvah. V'chiner kedusha yeshba. So if you take a look here, in the first paragraph on page Tzadites, he says the following. How can the Braisa say that Neiros Halolu Kodeshem, when the Gemara itself says in the name of Rabbi Yosef, V'chi Ner Kedusha Yeshba, it was a rhetorical question. So the Gemara really never doubted that the premise of Shmuel and Rabbi Yosef is certainly correct, that there's no Kedusha, there's no sanctity to a Ner Chanukah. The whole issue is only whether or not Lahartzos Mos is called Bizui Mitzvah. So at the end of this paragraph, he says, Haray, Deleka Kedusha Beneros Chanukah. There's no such thing as Kedusha Neros Chanukah. The reason why you can't use the Ner Chanukah is because of Bizui Mitzvah. In Cain, how do we understand the Nusach of our Neros Halolov? We've adopted that Nusach based on the Vrais of Masechta Sofrim. So the next paragraph, he points out that this problem was addressed way, way, way back in time by the Baal HaMa'or. And the Baal HaMa'or says the following, that it all depends where in the sugya you're holding. If you're holding at the beginning of the sugya, which is Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, there Rav says, Osu l'shtamesh li'orish ol ner Chanukah. If you're holding on Daf Chaf Beis, which is the sugya Rasi, there we're talking about Lahartzos Mos. And Ravasi is telling you you're not allowed to count your mos. So what's the difference between these two sugyas? Says the Baal HaMa'or, Leman di Omer Oso l'shtamish li'orish ol ner Chanukah, if you go back to Rav at the beginning of the sugya on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, when he declares that Oso l'shtamish li'orish ol ner Chanukah, says the Baal HaMa'or, Kol tashmish b'mashma, we're not talking about bizui mitzvah, we're talking about an all-inclusive prohibition not to use the ner, not to benefit from the ner Chanukah. V'afilu tashmish the mitzvah. Like the Gemara says, you're allowed to take tzitzis off one beggar to put it on another beggar, that's called tashmish the mitzvah. V'tashmish the kedusha. Even that's prohibited according to Rav. Mishum de kasavar, and here the Baal HaMa'or drops a bomb, the cave on Shehem, because Ner Chanukah was Zechel and Neros, Ulashem and Shal Heichal, is Asuras Heim Ba'ano Kol Ikar, an absolutely all inclusive Isra Ano, a few Likro Sefer, even for the sake of Talmud Torah, Lesuda Shabbos. So he wants to illuminate his table on Shabbos. On the Shabbos of Chanukah with the Ner Chanukah, he's not allowed to do so, according to Rav, who says also l'shtamish li'or, because the Baal HaMa'or is throwing he has a new twist, a new perspective on Rav. Rav is talking about establishing the law, the regulations of Ner Chanukah, as if you were talking about which Neros, the Ner in the Heichal, and the Ner in the Heichal are Asuros Ba'ano Kol Ikar. You know, you can't use the Neros in the Heichal for anything, not for reading a Sefer, not for Suda Shabbos. It has Kedusha to it. However, when we get to Rav Asi, that's the Sugyan Daf Chav Beis, L'mandi Omer Osu L'Hartzos Mos Kenegin Ner Chanukah, meaning the only Easter year is because of Bizui Mitzvah. Meaning he's using it for a tashmish al rishus, he's using the Ner Chanukah for his own personal purposes of chol, of counting his money. Is that because of bizui mitzvah? And then tashmish to mitzvah, tashmish kedusha is mutter, because if those benefits do not in any way undermine the cover that you have to have for the mitzvah, then they're okay. So when Shmuel asked the question on Rav Asi, how can you tell me you cannot count your mos kenegin ner Chanukah? V'chiner kedusha yeshbo lo svirale de isbe srach kedusha. Shmuel never accepted the view of Rav that there's some sort of kedusha ner Chanukah. V'lo mishum iser hano b'mishtamish li'ora, and he doesn't feel that there's any iser hano from the ner Chanukah. It's only It's devoid of any kedusha, and the only isur would be bizui mitzvah, which according to Shmuel does not include lahartzos mos. Oh, so now the Balamor asks, so what's the bottom line? What is the halacha lemaisa? He says maskana d'shmaita, and here on the top left column, the chayshina b'ner chanukah bizui mitzvah. He's not doing something that's insulting, you know, it's he's only counting his mos. That doesn't denigrate the Ner Chanuk, but that also constitutes a level of bizui mitzvah because he's using it for chol. Aval kedusha. If he wants to use it for kedusha, then there's no kedusha to Ner Chanuk. Mitzvah. Now again, I still don't understand why we're singing this Alah Nisim over here, in which we say Haneiros Halolu Kodesh. You know, that would reflect the sheet of Rav. Harei Adkan Lashon. He says Harei Kosar Balamor to Ikalaman Diomer to Yosel Ishtamish Li Ora. Meaning Rav sheet is Afilu Tashvu Shal Mitzvah Ukidusha Mishud Isbe Kedusha Zechel Haneiros V'Shem Shal Heichal. Behine Balamor cause of the Kaimalon La Locha that ain't Bam Kedusha. Mutalishtamishli Ora Tafshal Mitzvah, Tafshal Kedusha. It's only Asur for the sake of Bizu Mitzvah, like Laharzos Mos, according to that Mandi Omar. So again, we still don't understand La Halacha why we recite Haneris Halalu Kodesh, even though that does reflect the Sheet of Ra.
What's Halalu?
Meaning these candles that we just lit.
These are those.
Well, I don't know. Ulam Haran Kosav, listen to the Ran, the Kaimalon da Filu Tashishal Mitzvah Kedusha, also Lishtavish Liora. So at least we can salvage the Nusach of Aneris Alolu Kodeshem according to the Ran Shita, because the Ran is of the opinion that we paskin that all Tashmishim are Asur, whether it's Tashmishal Mitzvah or Tashmishal Kedusha. Lefi Dvarav according to the Ran Osi Shapar Nusach Aneris Alolu Kodeshem, Dasa'u Kiminora. The ispe kedusha v'emar rishus hashamish ben klal afilu tashvishal mitzvah afilu tashvishal kedusha. So the question is, who do we paskin like in the machlokes between Rav and Rav Asi? Rav understood that we make an equation between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shebeheichal, and that generates kedusha to the Ner Chanukah with an absolute isur v'shtamishus. Rav Asi never accepted that. He treated and classified Ner Chanukah like any Cheftishal mitzvah, and only Bizui mitzvah is also. But other Tashmishim for the sake of mitzvah would be mutter. So the Baal Bar says we paskin like Rav Asi. And that's the way Shmuel says, because Shmuel argues Vachin Neros Halolu Kodeshem, Kedusha Yeshba, as a rhetorical question. However, at least the Ran maintains that we paskin that also Lishtamish Liora. All across the board, all encompassing, including Shal Mitzvah, including Shal Kedusha, it means that the Neros are invested with Kedusha. And that's Kedusha comes from the analogy to Ner Shebeheichal. And therefore, that would justify a Neros Halalu Kodeshem. Yeah, Alan, what about this or that or those or those? What were you? I couldn't, you know, I wanted to, you know, you always have these brilliant flashes, but I'm a little slower than you, Alan. I got to get to the punchline.
No, the those is Ner Shebeheichal. So the name is Halalu.
Oh, Halalu is Ner Shechanukah, but the reason and the source for the Kedusha of Ner Chanukah is the equation to Ner Shebeheichal. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, they would have sung the song Haneiros Halalu, referring to the Ner Shebeheichal. And that would have been Kodesh.
Yeah, but the even if they were Kodesh, let's say you used the or you read something by the or shall the Ner Shebeheichal. What are you over on? There's no Meila, there's no nothing.
Well, wait a second. You know, in Migdash there are two different Isur. There's one Isur Me'ilah, and then there's another Isur Hanor. So you're right. As far as Me'ilah is concerned, Kol Ma'ar V'Reach Ein Be'em Isur Me'ilah. But as far as Isur Hanor is concerned, in other words, there's a different and an additional element to Migdash. It's not just It's not just Me'ilah. You know, Me'ilah, for example, Me'ilah only requires a Shavah Prut. Okay, right. And that's called Gzela. So that obviously doesn't apply because I'm reading my newspaper, you know, to the R of the Ne'er Sheva Mikdash. I haven't stolen anything from the Hegdash. Right. But there's a separate Isur of Hano, which applies even Pachas Mishavah Pruta, and it's not an Isur Gzela, it's just an overall Isur Hano.
But is that the same thing as Bizuri?
No. Absolutely not. He's using it for the sake of a mitzvah. And that's not Bizui. Bizui only means when he uses it for his personal purposes. And it's not a Tash B'Shel Chol and not a Tash B'Shel Mitzvah. And herein lies the difference between Kedusha and an Isur Hano that's generated by Kedusha and Bizui Mitzvah. In a case where he uses it not L'Chol, if he uses it L'Chol, then I don't even have to upgrade it to the state of Kedusha because it's Bizui Mitzvah. But if he's not using it for Chol, he's using it for a mitzvah, herein lies the difference between Bizui Mitzvah as a Chefzishal Mitzvah in general, and Kodesh Hashem and Kedusha. When we have a din of Kedusha, we're talking about a Kedusha of a highest level, then we engender an Isur Hano, which includes even L'Shem Mitzvah. V'hinei ha'avudraham b'seder adlokas ne'archanika hevi me'aga'onim sha'osur l'shtamesh be'ashemen v'apsilos achar shekobu diskatsoi l'mitzvah. Whoa, this is wild. You have extra shemen at the end of the eighth day, right? You've already fulfilled all the 8 days of Chanukah. What do you do with the leftover shemen? So I would say fry your egg.
Save it for next year.
And by the way, shemen zayis is very healthy. Again, it might be a little filthy if it's left over in the net. I don't know. But let's say Kof Sein Zakukla, it immediately went out. Yeah, Lenny?
There was a leftover in the net.
So what do you do? So the Gaonim say that you have to burn it. You can't use it for your purposes.
And what can Why? You burn it for?
What do you say?
What about when you said you have to make a Kaaba in there that you lift the Kaaba Shabbos earlier in the day, and now you have to be Mechaba it and to light it again, the Kaaba Shabbos. Are you allowed to be Mechaba it and relight it because this is God's saying?
Well, no, because again, it was never iskatzeh. He lit it in Yivod Yom. He's talking about a case of iskatzeh, but keep in mind, Rabbo, so iskatzeh only applies as long as the ner is alive and well and he hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah. For example, if I want to eat the pear that was used for nice sukkah after sukkah, I'm allowed to do so. I don't know if I could do so on Shmini Atzeres, but at least I can do it on Shiv Atzeres, right? What's going on here in the Gaonim? Hikshar Rav Rabbeinu Gershom Rav Shlomo Hakaimel and Tashmishi Mitzvah Nizrakim. It's very fine that you designate it as a mitzvah, but that's only as long as it's designated as fit for a mitzvah.
Right.
But now the eighth day of Chanukah has passed. You've already fulfilled your mitzvah. The Shemen Shebener, which most are Shemen Shebener, should have no din of iskatzoi. Iskatzoi the mitzvah only applies as long as the mitzvah can be fulfilled. The tirates, the shavinu rabbanan ki tashmishe kedusha. With regard to tashmishe mitzvah, katzoy and mitzvah only applies as long as it's designated for the mitzvah. So on both sides, when I get to the point where my tzitzis can no longer be used for the mitzvah, can I use it as dental floss? The answer is yes. Again, I'm not advocating that you do that, but technically, according to the pure, dry halacha, you're allowed to do that because this katzoy mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. You already fulfilled your mitzvah. And the same logic should apply to Ner Chanukah. After you finish the last hadlok on the eighth day, go ahead and use the most Hashem Shemaneh to fry your egg. Why is it also according to the Gaon? We have to make this bonfire. And the answer is, says the Ragbash, because Shavinu Rabbanon Tashmishe Kedusha. They upgraded the status of Ner Chanukah. Now the law of Tashmishe Kedusha, let's say for example a Sefer Torah or Tefillin, let's say you no longer could use these Tefillin, it doesn't mean that now you can take the straps and make it into some
sandal.
Sandal, yeah, you can't do that. Why? Because that's the special din of Tashmishe Kedusha. Now, why would Ner Chanukah in your wildest dreams have the status of Tashmishe Kedusha? It's a classical case of Tashmishe Mitzvah. So he answers, because Zecha L'Shemen Shal Hegdesh, they took the law of Shemen Shal Hechal and they superimposed it onto the Ner Chanukah. Just like in the case of Shemen Shal Hechal, what's the status of the Shemen it's tashmishe kiddusha. So if there's any shemen that's left over, you're not allowed to use it. And it's not like iskatzoyle mitzvah for a chetzol mitzvah. Is there a svir leilaga onim the shemen vapsilos havi tashmishe kiddusha? The also the shtamish ben afilu liachar shekalu. Ah, so once again, we could justify the nusach of Alan Nisim, Haneiros Halolu Kodeshem, Da Shemim Vatsil Salik Tashmishe Kedusha, the Ein Lanu Rishus Bahem, Lishtamish Bahem, the Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamish Bahem, Afilu Liachar Shekavu. So we could add another nuance of explanation and meaning to what does it mean when we say Haneiros Halolu Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamish Bahem. In the first understanding, based on the Ran, we said, Ein l'shus l'shtamish b'hem, even l'tzor mitzvah, even l'tzor kedusha, because there's kedusha to the Neiros. Now we're saying, Ein l'anu l'shus l'shtamish b'hem, even l'yachar shekavu, and you fulfill your mitzvah. Beautiful. I mean, this just gives us a whole new appreciation for our Neiros halol. Now, where else do we find that something's dedicated for a mitzvah, and yet it's upgraded to the status of Tashmishe Kiddusha? So he gives the case of a Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses is designated for what mitzvah? Tefillah, for davening, correct? Now what happens if I can no longer use this shul for davening, for whatever reason? So I should say it's Katzoy LeMitzvah, so, but now the mitzvah was complete, and now I should be able to use this shul for whatever I want. So the Gemara Megillah at the end of Masechta Megillah says the Beis HaKnesses Agura Mashkona Osu. In other words, we're not allowed to use the Beis HaKnesses for our personal purposes. Make it into an assembly hall or something like that. My timer, because you shall say Kaimen. It still has the sanctity of a Beis HaKnesses. Nusa Mighty Pocket Kedusha. So why not say that now we're no longer designating it as a Beis HaKnesses? So it should automatically lose its status as it's katzoy levitzvasa, says the Ramban in Megillah, that even though ein al aguf de beis haknesses kedusha mamish, it's not true to say that the beis haknesses has the identical kedusha of a beis hamigdash. However, osu osok tashmishe mitzvah of lula v'sukkah. Oh, so the Ramban says that now we identify the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses as a Tashmishe Mitzvah. Yeah, but now we're in trouble. Because why can't you use the shul after you stop using it for prayer? Afal pideim atzvim nizrokim liachazman mitzvah. Nevertheless, yesh bam Kedusha shel kavod. The Ramban is introducing a whole new concept over here, which I think is a kind of duplicate, or it replicates Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if you ask me honestly, does the Beis HaKnesses have the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is absolutely no. But they gave it a reflection, a reflected image of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash.
They're using the same rules.
And they called it, he calls it kavod. What's the language of the Ramban? He calls it kedusha shel kavod. You might want to underline those words. This is a brand new breakthrough Ramban, a new concept called kedusha shel kavod. And he says the following: where do I find a source or a precedent for this concept of kedusha shel kavod, that even after the mitzvah is gone, you still can't benefit from the object of the mitzvah, which again violates the principle of iskatzoy? We find it in Ner Chanukah, because the Gemara says that v'chi ner kedusha yesh bo, and the Gemara says it's awesome. So it means that the Gemara accepts this principle of ner kedusha yesh bo, and the Rabban is saying, but wait a minute, let's be honest about it. There's no kedusha to a Ner Chanukah. So what does it mean, this kedusha? So Ramban is now going to break through with this concept of Kedusha Shel Kavod. It's like a facsimile of Kedusha. It has some sort of it has to define it, but it has some sort of a smell, so to speak. It has a taste or a smell of Kedusha of the original. Oh. So what does the Gevuras Yitzchak see in this Ramban? And the Ramban's equation between Beis HaKnesses and Ner Chanukah. Hari Kosem Ramban, the Afal Gav, the Ein Gufa Beis Knesses. Kiddusha. Or, for example, in the case of an Erech Hanukkah, it's only Tashmishi Mitzvah and it doesn't have Kiddusha. But nevertheless, the Rabbanon superimposed a Kiddusha Shel Kavod on the Beis HaKnesses on the Ner Chanukah. Mikomakob Noagim Bo Hanhogas Kiddusha Lechvod HaMitzvah. V'zeo Maideka Amrinon V'Gemara De Beis HaKnesses Yeshla Kiddusha. So whenever you see that the Gemara attributes the status of Kiddusha to Beis HaKnesses, it means not really Guf HaKiddusha, but it means Kiddusha Shel Kavod. Ulafi Zed, now maybe we could go back to the Nusach of Haneris Halolu and add a third possible explanation. What does it mean, Haneris Halolu Kodesh Ayim V'Elon Rishus Ishtamishma? That even though, according to the Baal HaMor, we paskin that you can use the Ner Chanukah for a Tashmish al Rishus, as long as there's no Bizi Mitzvah. And for sure, you could use it for a tashrish of mitzvah. There's no kiddush bizu mitzvah. Komakom, according to Ramban, we still have this concept of kiddusha shel kavod. V'yisod ha'isur d'yesh b'hem kiddusha shel kavod u'lekach ein mishtamshim b'hem. Zo mashamrinon haneris halolu kodeshim. So let's just review three possible interpretations of the brisa of Haneris Halolu Kodeshim. One interpretation is based on the Ran, and the Ran assumes that Lahalocha we paskin that you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah in any shape or form, and they gave the status of the Ner Chanukah the same identical status as the Ner Shel Migdash. We have the second interpretation based on the Shitas HaGaonim that even after we conclude on the eighth day the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, we still are not allowed to use the Mosar Shemen Shebin Ner, the extra shemen, and they gave it some sort of quasi-din of Ner Shebemigdosh, or what he calls Tashmishei Kiddusha, that even after you finish with the Sefer Torah, the Tefillah, the Mezuzah, you're not allowed to throw it out or use it for your own purposes. That's called Tashmishei Kiddusha. And that's what it means, Ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtamish Bahem. And now we have a third explanation of Ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtamish Bahem, not based on the Ran nor the Gaon, but based on the Ramban, that the Ramban has in Beis HaKnesses a concept of Kiddusha Shel Kavod, and the Ramban equates it with Ner Chanukah. The Ner Chanukah also has this concept called Kiddusha Shel Kavod, and as a result, we can say Haneris Halolu Kodeshim, and we're not allowed to use them because we'll be violating this Kiddusha Shel Kavod. Now, in a sense, the Ramban is very similar to the Gaonim.
Except the Ramban says b'zman mitzvah yesh ben kedusha shel kavod, not la'achar. So you would disagree with the Gaon about using it afterwards. Afal pishen la'atzmo nizrok and la'achar zman b'zman mitzvah yesh ben kedusha shel kavod.
Right, and that's the case of lulav and sukkah, but I'm not sure what the Ramban would say about near Chanukah.
Why should it be different? He's using that.
Right, because he's saying that they, just like the Gaonim, again, this is not the Ramban's language, but I'm saying, just like we saw in the Gaonim, that although with regard to a lulav, you're allowed to use a lulav to pick your ear after Sukkot is over, but nevertheless, in the case of the Shemen Shebener, you have to burn it, you can't use it for your frying your egg. So Ramban is using a similar example in Ner Chanukah, that although in Lulav, after the end of the mitzvah of Lulav, you're allowed to use the Lulav for whatever you want, Heim Atzman Nizrokim Li'achar Zman Mitzvah, but nevertheless, in the case of Ner Chanukah, we're going to give the Ner Chanukah some sort of status of Kiddusha Shel Kavod, which we found already in Beis HaMikdash, because just like in Beis HaMikdash, in Beis HaKnesses, we're giving the Beis HaKnesses a status of quasi Beis HaMikdash, right? So Mikdash Ma'at, it sort of replaces the Beis HaMikdash in our time. So too, in the case of Ner Chanukah, by virtue of this similarity to or remembering the Ner Shem HaMikdash, we're going to say that even after Chanukah is concerned, you're still not going to be able to enjoy the benefits of the Shemen because of this concept of Kedusha Shel Kavod. And it could very well be that, according to Rabban, that Kedusha Shel Kavod begins during Chanukah, forget about after Chanukah, and just like we said that the Beis HaKnesset has this upgraded level of Kedusha because of its similarity to the Beis HaMikdash, so too the Ner Chanukah has an upgraded level of Kedusha. And again, the Ramban is similar to the Gaon because he might claim that after the Zman of the Mitzvah, you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah. And that's another way of interpreting Haneris Halolu Kodesh. Now, do you have Simon Mem Gimel? Did I give you Kuf Kuf Aleph?
Yeah.
Okay, so in Simon Mem Gimel, he talks about Rabbeinu Yerucham. I mentioned this in my 8:30 class this morning. Rabbeinu Yerucham has a very unique shita in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says that on the first night of Chanukah, we should recite all three brachos before Hadlaka, but on the second night, we should only recite the first bracha of Lahadlik before we start the Hadlaka. But we should postpone the recitation of the second bracha to post Hadlaka, meaning we should sandwich the Sha'as and Nisan between the first Hadlaka and the second Hadlaka on the second night of Chanukah. Are you with me?
What about all the other nights?
And the same thing, he says that for the rest of Chanukah, after the first night, starting with the second night till the eighth night, we should recite the Sha'as HaNisim after we've already lit the first. So the Lahadlik will come over the first candle, and then he will recite Sha'as HaNisim. Let me just read to you his language. He says, "V'Sha'as HaNisim Yivarech Li Achar Adlokas Ner Rishon Kodem Sheyadlik Ner Sheni." Shehu Nes Oso Hayom. I think he's saying that the Ner Chanukah on the second night commemorates the miracle of the second night. Meaning
so
that
on the third night, he would say a Shalom on the third.
Third.
That's a Makhluk.
V'cheni says, V'leil. Again, I just want to get the sheet of Rabbeinu Yerucham.
No, I mean, it was Makhluk. It's Rabbi Ki, Shalmin Beis Hillel. Which is the name?
Oh, so you mean he's only going to Beis Hillel, you say?
Yeah, because he's going to Beis Shammai.
So, well, again, you have to analyze the sheet of Beis Shammai. I don't know if I have the cup for that right now. What time is it? It's after 1 o'clock. So let me just finish. You know, I love to finish one thing before I go on to another thing. The subject of this discussion is Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. You're right. We'll have to think about Beis Shammai. But let's talk about Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel is saying that with every additional night, we're commemorating the miracle of that night. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yerucham, the bracha of Sha'as HaNisim, which is commemorating, which is thanking Hashem for the miracle, should be connected to the...
It should be the end, not the second night.
To the additional candle. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yerucham, again, I hope you're looking inside, so you don't rely on me. Again, we're reading Rabbeinu Yerucham. We're going back into a time machine that goes back over 1,000 years. V'chein b'leil gimel, kodem sheyadlik ner gimel. V'chein b'dalid, and so forth and so on. V'chein b'kulam. So each night you have a ner of a nes, meaning of the new nes of that day. And on that new candle, that's the extra candle, you make a Sha'as HaNisim.
Why do you do it before?
After or before?
You should do it after. It's not a mitzvah, it's a
birchas. I don't know. It seems like he's talking about a birchas mitzvah. And not only that, he's makpid that on the first night you should recite the Sha'as HaNisim before you light the first candle. So it sounds like he's applying the principle of over lasi yosman.
What would he say if you're only mahadra? If you do the basic chiyuv, one night, one candle per night.
Right, then you're going to have to recite all the brachas before the one candle. But he's talking about the Mahadran, and he's saying that you can light before the second candle on the second night, before the eighth candle on the eighth night. He says, "Avo bedarki Moshe hated my real kosev shalola hasnil by lokad siyum kol brachos without any exception." In all cases, he should recite the brachas before that loka. And this is the Darkei Moshe of the Ramah in his commentary on the Tur, and La Lochi passings like that in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Tov Reish Ayin Vav. Says the Gvuras Yitzchak, what one thing you have to derive from Rabbeinu Yerucham, which is a major breakthrough, if you will, that the Neros of Mahadrin also lend themselves to a bracha. Meaning, basically, according to Gvuras Ari, even the bracha of Shasa Nisim is over Lasiyosan. But he says the over Lasiyosan shifts from the first candle on the first night to the second candle on the second night to the third candle on the third night, and that's the over Lasiyosan. So before he lights the third candle on the third night, he's going to recite Shasa Nisim, and that's going to be over Lasiyosan of the lighting of the third candle. It means that the Mahadrin is enough to generate a bracha that's over Lasiyosan. And that's a major breakthrough, because the Pri Chadosh says, quoted by Rabbi Kiveger, that if he forgot to make the bracha on the first candle, he cannot make a bracha on the second candle, because that's only a Mahadran candle. And a Mahadran candle doesn't get a bracha. The Mahadran candle doesn't get a bracha. Okay, I hear what you're saying, Lenny. I also wanted to say that, but again, what he's saying, the Pri Chodesh is saying the following: that if the mitzvah requires a bracha, let's talk about brachas on mitzvahs, let's talk about over lasiyosan, then that bracha has to be over leikar ha ner, meaning mitzvahs, but it cannot be over the Mahadrin Ner. Okay, we're going to see that the Eliyahu Rabbah disagrees. He says, no, let him make a bracha even before he lights the 50th candle, whatever the Mahadrin is, if he has 50 people in the household. So he says the following. This is the Gvuras Yitzchak. Hine, Rabbeinu Yerucham, Muchach, Mi Rabbeinu Yerucham, Muchach, Ke Eliyahu Rabbah, meaning against the Pri Chadosh, the Rei Kasav, meaning even Shasa Nisan has to be over Lasiyah. But he needs an Asiyah. So he says that on the first night, the over Lasiyah has to be before he lights the first candle, because there's only one candle. On the second night, before he lights the second candle. He has this special, how should I say it, he adores the fact that the second candle is the new Ness of that day, and if he wants the over Lasiyos to be fulfilled with the second candle, but at the end of the day, that second candle is only a candle v'toras hider mitzvah. So the over Lasiyos of Rabbeinu Yerucham is going to be fulfilled on the hider mitzvah candle of the second, on the second night, the third, on the third night, etc., etc. So he says, the afal gav the birchas shasa nisim tzarich lios over lasiyosan. But what's over lasiyosan here, according to the Rabbeinu Yerucham? Over lasiyos hider mitzvah. Liachar shehidlik es haner rishon, v'kvar yotza mitzvah hadlok es ner yishu beiso, v'karchav, according to the Rabbeinu Yerucham, is af al hidur boy bruche. You make the bruch of over lasiyosan on the mais hadlok on the hider mitzvah. And that's against the base, that's against the Pri Chodesh, because the Pri Chodesh says that you cannot make a bracha on the Hidur mitzvah.
He seems to be in the middle, though, because he's talking about only the bracha of Shasa Nisim on the Hidur candle. He doesn't say you make the bracha lahadlik on the second.
Right, it seems that the only reason he's pushing the envelope to get that Shasa Nisim on the Hidur candle is simply because that Hidur candle is really the Shasa Nisim of that night, if you follow what I mean.
So he wouldn't necessarily
But it has to be before that loka. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he wouldn't agree with the Eliyahu Rabbah that you can make a lahadlik on the second candle.
Why not?
Because he's only,
why not? The Pri Chodesh is saying that the reason why you can't make lahadlik on the second candle is because it's only a hider mitzvah, and there's no over lasiyosan a hider mitzvah. Once the Rabbeinu Yerucham has made this breakthrough that you can recite a bracha over lasiyosan on the asiyah of a hider mitzvah, means he's upgraded the hadlok of the hider mitzvah to the status of a mitzvah. And once he does so, why not make lahadlik? Again, it's not black and white.
He doesn't say it.
Yeah, he doesn't say it out loud, but logically, you're forced. You know, he's seducing you. He's twisting your arm here, because what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that this overlasia, again, assuming. You know, Lenny said that maybe Shasanisim is a Birch Hashem of Hodoya, but that's not Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham is insisting that you need a Maisad Loka even as far as Shasanisim.
Right.
And Overlasi also requires that the Shasanisim be recited before the Maisad Loka. Now, if that be the case, then ask yourself the following question. What's the difference between Lahadlik and Shasanisim? Meaning, if you want to tell me that heder mitzvah is not adloka, then even Shasanisim would not be able to be over lasiyosa before the lighting of the heder mitzvah. If on the other hand you're telling me that there is an over lasiyosa in the case of heder mitzvah, then that should apply equally to Lahadlik. He's not willing to say that as far as Lahadlik is concerned, the Rabbeinu Yerucham would drop the ball, because again, all you need is Adlaka. Is it Adlaka or is it not Adlaka? You know, in other words, he's not willing to accept that there are different rules and regulations that apply within Birchas HaMitzvah of Overlasiyos. And you can say, well, the Overlasiyos of Birchas Shosanisim allows a Hidur Mitzvah, a Ner of Hidur, and the Overlasiyos of Lahadlik doesn't allow. It's all part of one Mitzvah. Yeah, let me.
You're saying that according to Rabbi Yerucham, we should make the Shosanisim just before the light of that night.
Right, the extra candle of the
extra candle. So what is the status of the third now? What's the status of the second candle? It's also,
in other words, you're right, it's also Hidur Mitzvah, but again, he's trying to gain the following cue. He wants to demonstrate the Sha'asa Nisim. Right. And to enhance or embellish the Sha'asa Nisim, he wants to attach the Sha'asa Nisim to our physical declaration, not a verbal declaration of the ness of that time period. So the ness of that time period is physically embodied in the extra ner. Now Lenny, you could ask another question. What would be if he recited the Shasanisim before the second candle on the third night? I'm for sure he would be Yotze. He still has he still has the overlasi Yotze of the Asiya of the second candle. But on the other hand, he doesn't gain this extra element of elucidation or clarification of the ness that this is a great miracle, because he's really thanking Hashem for yesterday's miracle. You know, yesterday he said Shasa Nisim on the second Nair. Now again he's going to duplicate that on the third night and again say, God, thank you for your ness of the second candle. I've already thanked you for the ness of the second candle, because each candle corresponds to another day of miracle.
So he's saying they're two different mitzvahs. One is Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, which applies even to the first Ner, and then there's a second mitzvah on the Nes, which is the new candle.
Right. He's saying that Sha'asa Nisim is not a duplicate of Lahadlik. They're not exactly equal.
Right.
Right. He's saying that Sha'asa Nisim is also on the Hadlaka, and it requires over Lasiyosan, but Sha'asa Nisim is a cum of a bracha on the mitzvah of commemorating the new Nes.
Right.
And on the mitzvah of commemorating the new Nes, we have to be sure that we recite this brach of Shasa Nisim on the new Nes, means the new candle, because the new candle commemorates the new Nes.
Right. But that might be, then he may not say, you could say Lahadlik after the first candle.
But why? Again, the only reason why the Prichadosh, unless you have another reason, objects to making a Lahadlik on the second candle is because that's called Mahadrin. So if the second candle is Mahadrin, the same rule should apply to Shasa Nisim. Meaning, since we're saying that Shasa Nisim has to be on a Maisad Loka, and you've already diffused or degraded the status of the Lokas of their Mahadrin to a lower status, and it doesn't constitute a Maisad Loka as far as we're concerned, it's only Zeh Kelim Yaveyu, if you will, then how can you possibly justify the Shasa Nisim as a Birchas HaMitzvah, which requires Ovelasi Yosan, on the third candle on the third night, the second candle on the second night. It's a second rate candle, and it's not hadlaka because it's hadlaka of Hider Mitzvah. So you can't tell me that that's over Lassio.
Well, there it goes on the second one too, just like
Sean, you want to open up the door?
Just like Bahanatas and the Shaliyaka also goes on the Shalosh.
Can you leave that tefillin for a moment and just tell me, you know, what you're saying? You know, well, what's the point? You know, you'll bring a riot to your point with tefillin. I can't think about tefillin now.
The point is like this,
man. In the Rav Shi, if you mentioned tefillin in the Shir of Ner Chanuk, he would really.
Point is like this: if you only had one Ner and you were lighting, if you had day two,
it's done.
It's night two, so you made Mahadli Ner Shal Hanukkah, and you said to the Lassanisim, saying, and then they found another candle, so you put it in there. Then you'd have to make a Mahadli Ner over again because it was nothing there. According to everybody, because there was no other Ner to for the bracha of Hadlaka to go on. But if the one there was really Mikolo at the time you made the Hadlaka there, on the first one, you wouldn't make it on the second one. Because the second one would be